Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's another fine Saturday. It's Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. We got a great show for you today, so sit back, relax, let it do what it do. It's empowerment right here for you. It's all day, every day. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. I'm your main man, Marvin Ronan, coming to you in just a few minutes is my co-host, Stan Macklin. Today we have an excellent show for you. Pay attention and listen. It's a good one. Let's start off with the NAAEA. The purpose of the NAAEA is to ensure that the needs of the African-American community are met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower the African-American to the community to change, to grow, to develop, to be inspired, to be empowered. How do we do this? Through politics, economics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. And these programs are designed to uplift our community, to educate and inspire, to motivate, to educate and help us to become better, to become what our ancestors envisioned, to bring forth a change in our community. We have to do it. It's us. It's not going to be anybody else. So we have to do the work of working on ourselves. 845-277-9250 is the number to call today to join us live. So today, the topic is going to be, does Black lives really matter to Black people? Does Black lives really matter to Black people? But first, we're going to talk a little bit about the passing of one of our icons, John Lewis. Bring in Stan now. Stan, are you there?
I'm here, my brother. Glad to
hey,
be
brother.
another part of a wonderful Empowerment 360 program. Full circle.
There is no better way to educate and inspire and motivate than to do it this way. So we're going to talk a little bit about John Lewis, man. We just lost the icon, man.
Yes, we did.
Battled, fought, and he has brought an illustrious life to an end. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you know and what he did for us, for our people?
Well, it's my pleasure, Marvin. I'll tell you, I cried, man. I cried. Not only that, because, you know, it seemed like it happens in pairs. And another good, great friend of his and that I knew was C.T. Vivian, who's from my home country, Illinois, an active civil rights leader as well. He died at 95. So these are two giants. I mean, these are torchbearers, man, trailblazers that carried forth the good news concerning racial injustice and equality for all. I mean, in Jim Crow South. And, of course, Vivian was fighting it up north. A lot of people don't know this, but north is just is even, to me, I think it's worse than the South, because the North, and I'm from the North, I was bred and born in the North, but they tell so many lies about the South, and racism is really vicious up there. Yeah, it really is. But this man, John Lewis, man, I mean, just a pillar, just a straight out advocate for racial equality. And that brother, man, he didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk with lumps on his head to prove it. I mean, you think about the Pettus Bridge.
Wow.
How he led that march there called Bloody Sunday. That was the real deal. I mean, protesting now. I mean, and I'm on the tail end of it, brother, man. I mean, you know, it really touches me, man, because these brothers have passed the torch, man, and I'm 66 years old, man, and I was just a little youngster, man. You know, in the 60s, man, standing up for the cause. But that brother stood out to me because he was a freedom rider. The freedom riders, man, this touches me, man. He got on, they got on the bus, man. They rode through, I mean, crossed that Mason-Dixon line, knowing that the viciousness was there. Some of them didn't make it, man. Black and white didn't make it.
Wow.
It's emotional for me, man. Because knowing that them brothers is gone now, man, I'm in the forefront. I'm in the forefront, man, and there's other great brothers out here, man. But I know what I do, and I love what I do, but I know the cost is still here, man. And we have to deal with a lot of nonsense today. We should be further down the road, but I thank God for that brother, man, because, you know, he exposed the current administration. He said, I'm not going to be a part of that, let's just say what it is, mess. I'm not going to it because the brother was selected. He wasn't elected. It's not a real election. He didn't go. He didn't go. That's the kind of man he was. Arrested over 45 times. True trailblazer. And C.T. Vivian, man, I tell you, man, that dude, man, I saw him standing in the face, man, speaking to the viciousness of racists, man, head to toe, telling them that that's not right. That's right, man. So it's,
wow.
It's kind of like, it's kind of, kind of like a sad day, man, for me, but because I know that to me it signifies the passing of the torch. And I want to do everything I can to stand up and stand out for the cause, because we still living in some perilous times, my brother. But
true.
I have nothing but good things to say about the brother, man. Just, you know, he fought the good fight of faith, and of course he succumbed to pancreatic cancer. But the guy's just amazing man, amazing man, a real true statesman, and I can say that, statesman. And so that's what I want to be, man. I want to go off this scene when my time come, knowing that I fought the good fight, and I stood the test, and that my grandchildren can experience some of the things that we didn't have to go through. So, you know, them brothers sat at lunch. They were pioneers, man. They sat at lunch counters, knowing people cracking eggs upside their heads and kicking them in the behind and stuff. Well, you know. Them brothers were really committed to a non-violent Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King philosophy. They was true trailblazers, man. They didn't fight back. I want to get to that place where somebody crack an egg on my head. You know, I can say, God bless you. I'm loving you in spite of. I think I'm almost there. I can't say it right now. You know, but them brothers, you know, I mean, I came in on the tail end of the 60s, man, and got the water hoses and the dogs. I did, will say that. And, we got to look at what time it is, man. We're in 2020 in just in a physical sense. And I'm not a doctor, but it means, you know, perfect vision. You know, 2020 represents perfect vision. And this is the time where we're clearly seeing it is for what it is. And we have to take a stand, man, and carry on. I think about the torch has been passed on. Now, I'm going to do my fair share. I know that.
All right.
passing it off to these young people today is what it's all about, the next generation.
True.
I'm just so fooled.
U.S. Representative John Lewis passing
yes.
at 80, civil rights
mm-hmm.
icon, battle for racial justice, equality,
mm-hmm.
and basic human rights for all people. So
yep.
let's just take a moment, right, just a moment before we get into our topic today to just have a brief moment of silence for John Lewis. May God bless his soul. Great work, great life. The question
mm-hmm.
is, who's willing to stand in the gap? Who is willing to stand in the gap? And
mm-hmm.
does black lives really matter to black people? This line is full. The deck is full today, Stan. So I ask you the question first, right? Have we been so indoctrinated? Have we completely lost our way? Not all of us, okay? But many of us, right, are dying in the street at the hands of other African Americans. What's going on here?
Well, man, I just got to be real with it, Marvin. The brainchild of racism is niggerism. That's right. It's niggerism. And, you know, because we know racism devalues black life, especially black family life. And niggerism, you know, that's what it is. I mean, racism can bring drugs in our community and everything, but it's niggerism that will sell it to a mother who neglects her kids and causes them to have nothing but despair and trauma in their life. You know, niggerism can cause you to be involved in a dice game and get mad and upset and instead of resolving a conflict, you just, you know, shoot your brother in the head. I mean, I could go on and on about the spirit of niggerism because it was created and it's carrying out its purpose. And, you know, I don't even want to be lumped with that, man. I'm not a nigger. As moms maybe and others have said, I don't eat them either. When they were going to the states, going to restaurants, they said, we don't serve niggas here. And she said, I don't eat them either. And I don't even want to be classified with niggerism or anything has to do with a nigger either. You know, I know young people have a little different terminology. They want to justify it. And I listen to them. You know, there's a difference between N-I-G-G-E-R and N-I-G-G-A. Nigga, but to me it's all bad because I don't even like saying that or using that to you know, as a greeting. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got to the place where, you know, people are calling each other dog. How you doing, dog? I'm not a dog, man. Come on, the Bible says dogs and whoremongers and all that other stuff won't even enter into his presence, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know it's a condition.
It's
a condition of the mind.
Right.
It's a state of the mind.
Right. It is.
Yeah.
It is. And a lot of people have sacrificed for us to walk the walk and talk the talk and to make a difference. And I still believe there's champions. I still believe in us. I still believe that we're one of the most brilliant people on the faces
mm-hmm.
on this earth. I believe in that, my brother. I believe that we're kings and queens, our original position. And I believe that the spirit of Timbuktu is alive and well. And
mm-hmm.
and we underestimate ourselves and we devalue who we are and we allow our reality to be defined by others. And it shouldn't be like that. And so I just think it's a time for us to rise up and be the great people who we are to make
All right.
a difference.
All right. So I'll say this. We're going to the line. I'm going to 1225. I'm going to 1225. But before we go there, I want to say on those ships that came to this land, and on this land before the European arrived, there were no niggers. Let me say that. And so I'm going to the line now. Empowerment Saturday, 12:25. Are you available for conversation? Marvin Roan and Stan Mackey.
Yeah, hey. Hey, Marvin. Hey, Stan. This is Michael Even. How y'all doing?
Hey.
Doing good.
Hey, y'all hear me?
How you doing?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, now, going back when it says, okay, I'm going to say like this. Okay, just because we say Black Lives Matter, people have to understand, we don't mean, we're not saying all lives don't matter. We're just meaning, I heard someone say Black Lives Matter is the point where I'm going to the hospital with a gunshot wound compared to you going to the hospital with a cold. I'm not saying all lives don't matter. It's just Black Lives Matter because right now it's such an emergency because it's a gunshot wound. It needs to be dealt with right now.
Well said. Well said.
So when you go back to the point of saying black on black crime, what's going on now? We just had roughly 7 people get shot in the city of Richmond last week. I feel it's coming down to a point like the Willie Lynch story, where it becomes black people become jealous, not so much of the color, you become jealous of what somebody else has. Now I don't know what caused somebody to commit these crimes or do these crimes and shoot children and shoot people, but it has to be out of not because you're black, but because I'm jealous of what you have, or you may owe me something. Does a dollar make me shoot you? Or does what you have make me want to take your life for that? So I kind of get away from the point where I don't even think the younger crowd or they're really looking at it as black on black. I think they're just looking at it as, you know, go back to the Willie Lynch. If somebody has more, if the white man has more in your hands, and now you become jealous of your own brother because he has more than what you have, it's more of a jealousy thing. Even though what goes on now with the racial indiscretions and everything going on in society now, and people being cooped up in the house, it's like, okay, boom, I hear this on the news, I see what's going on, man, I can't wait to march for my people, but I got to get me first. I got to do me first. Such and such owe me $10. Such and such may owe me $20. So I don't know. I don't know the value of what makes somebody take somebody's life with a gun or shoot somebody. But I think it's definitely not even looking at the color aspect. I think it's just looking at this brother got more than what I got, or this brother took from me, and I'm jealous of this brother right now. That's where that's happening with. I mean, here, Chicago. You got a weekend with 70, 60 people get shot. A couple of different weekends, and it's gay people shooting your own people. I mean, it can't be Black Lives Matter. I think it's just, it's like, I've worked a couple of different jobs, and shame to say that I've had black managers that have never given me a promotion or a raise because I talk to different people. They've been in that situation where some of our own people don't want us to have more than what they have. So I don't look at it as when it's black on black crime. They're not looking at it as black on black crime taken away. They're just looking at it, I can't let you have more than what I have. That's the point I'm getting from it.
Okay. Wow. Great points, Michael. I'm coming back to you. Hold on one second. We're slide on down. But first, Stan. So
I'm listening again.
How are we going to get past this, right? It seems to be a cycle that we're in, and this brother brought out Willie Lynch. Now, that's a whole nother conversation, and I'm hoping that Brother George will be on the line so he could talk a little bit about Willie Lynch. But let's go down to 2350. We come back to you, Michael. 2350. Welcome to the Empowerment Network, the Empowerment Show, Marvin Rona, Stan Macklin. Talk to me, brother, sister.
Go ahead.
2350, you're alive. Well, maybe they're not ready. All right, we'll go to 4358. You're alive on the Empowerment Network.
Well, while they're thinking, you know, the brother brought up a lot of good things. Right. Willie Lynch mentality has a lot to do with it, and it's it's almost perpetual, just like this systemic racism that goes on and on and on. But, you know, we don't know how to deal with conflict. And the brother brought in a good point, jealousy. You should be happy to see an individual succeed, but hopefully not at the expense of manipulation by another person. But I think that conflict, we do need some resolution. That's why, you know, when you go back to the village, they solve everything within the confines of the village. You know, we've been to several junkets there, and they would even tie up a brother, man. I mean, he wasn't tied up. He was chained up to a tree till he found
himself. Get yourself right. That's right.
He was calling up, and he was calling on God.
True.
Yeah. And so the brother had a conversation. We had a conversation with him. And so they just got a way of dealing with turmoil so things don't escalate and get out of hand. That's why I said, man, we definitely need institutions that define our own reality. But, you know, people have a tendency, they want to lump us all together. And we are unique. We're different in many different dimensions. Black people are brilliant, unique, sensational people, and we come in all shapes, sizes, skin tones, perspectives, worldviews, you know? And so it's just unfortunate that you got that element out there that is so diabolical in terms of the destruction of us. Of us.
But well, like you said, brother, hurt people hurt people, right?
Yes,
and our people have been completely traumatized to a degree, right? And so like Brother Michael talked about, his manager, right, that won't give him a promotion is still a form of trauma, right?
That is. No one
so it's a condition,
capable.
Right, a state of mind that we're functioning in. How do we break out of this state of mind, right? How do we break past the Willie Lynch mindset? And how do we create systems that's going to, like you always say, create a reality or institutions that create a reality for us that's sustainable? I have one thing that I'm going
to
put out there today.
We have to because, as the brother said, you know, here he is. He knows he's worthy of a promotion. And many times we have to get in to fit in. I mean, come on. He shouldn't have to be subject to that, but we do. And because it just is what it is. But, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just tired.
I'm advocating for a new code. Starting today, blacks don't kill blacks. Anybody ever seen the Planet of the Apes? Those apes never killed each other. And we have to have
a code
in our community amongst ourselves, a new rule and a new law to say we don't kill each other. We can fuss, we can argue, we can disagree.
Right, using the terminology, there was respect amongst them.
We came
orangutans. Wow.
You got it, brother. A new code, black don't kill black. I'm going back to the line again. Let's see if we're ready to talk. This is your show. This is your conversation. It's time to raise your voice. 2350, coming to you live. The Empowerment Network, Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin, are you available? 2350.
They listening today, my brother. They listening
today.
Yeah,
all right.
Well,
we're going to keep you on the line, and we'll try you again later. All right, let's go to 4358.
And let me say, Marvin, that's what I appreciate. You know, the National African American Empowerment Association provides a platform, you know, and a form to which we can define our reality and give us. And this show here is one of them. And so, but this time, you know, our audience, they feel like, hey, I gotta digest this some more before I swallow it. And so, we know we got some good listeners out there, and I thank God. But, you know, man, I mean, when you think in terms of the print that these brothers have left in the sands of time, John Lewis, and you can go on and on and on. But this is today. He didn't die yesterday. You know, he died. It was yesterday. He died yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like last year. These is fresh. Him and T.T. Vivian. And these pioneers, man, they stood the test. And now, you know, man, we must be willing to pick up that torch. I sometimes feel that there need to be some cotton fields. Now, they might say that's a little rough. But I think that experience wouldn't be hurtful but helpful in terms of character development. I know that you don't have to pick no cotton to have character, but them brothers and sisters sure went through something.
Mm-hmm.
And the perpetuation of that the plantation mentality exists today.
True.
And that's what white supremacy does. It's created two things that's still in operation. The plantation mentality, and then I'm going to even put this one out there. The El Mena slave castle, which is mass mm-hmm. incarceration, because that's where they held the brothers and the sisters at before they locked them up inside of the slave ship. And how is it that they were able so... because they had broken their will at that slave castle. You know, some horrific things went on there.
Mm-hmm. That's
governor
so true.
Had the women's dungeon leads up under the bedroom of the governor. And every night he has up a fresh woman. If he likes her, he sends her back down. If he don't, he pushes her over the moat. Come on, man. We can't even tell half the viciousness stuff that's been done down in the bayou, chain us up and toss us over to the alligators and watch them eat us up. Put a baby out there called gator bait.
Mm-hmm.
I go on and on and on.
And on and on and on.
And
on
now,
and on
but
and
thank
on.
God, look oh. at it. The Washington Redskins are going to change their name.
What?
Where'd that come from? Huh?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, 2020 is really happening.
Our Native American brothers no longer have to feel like the N-word, which is the same thing to them, Redskin, has to be endured with that anymore. The Washington Redskins changing their imagery, new branding. Come on, man. Something's going on wrong.
Yes, it is.
Is it that these
yes,
white folks are really waking up now? I think, and wow, I'm on a roll here, man. What about Asheville, North Carolina?
Hmm.
That council voted to have a form of reparations for the black citizenry of that particular city.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Something's going on.
We can do something with that money instead of buying a new car. I mean, if you need one, but let's don't give it right back. But that's on the economic side. All right, let me go back to the lines. I'm going back to Brother Michael. And then I'll try again because we don't have nobody want to talk to us today but Brother Michael. Brother Michael, you
they're
there?
They're listening, brother. They're listening.
Yeah, I'm here, and I kind of like what he said. What I got from what he said, we need to go back to cotton fields. And not so much a cotton field, but the reason why there's such a problem in the black community is because the younger generation feel entitlement. If you feel entitlement, you're selfish.
Wow.
Meaning, I'm blamed for this too with my own kids. We have given them so much when they their kids growing up. We've always put Jordans on them. We've always let me give you the best little toys, this and that. At one point when they get older and you can't give them, and you get older, and you feel they need to go out and get a job, they feel entitled to this. Entitled to just somebody handing something to them rather than them getting their hands dirty. So if you're not ever used to getting your hands dirty, then you're going to go take the easy route. And the easy route is, let me get fast money. And if that money don't come fast enough, and you take some from me, I take some from you. You know, so it's just a point where I understand what you mean about saying the cotton field because you have no knowledge of what it is to work for it. Not 100%, but it's a percentage out there that they have no knowledge of working. They're used to coming up in a society where everything they're spoiled. Everything is given to them. When it can't be given to them, they find a fast way to go get it.
Look at that.
So how do we break out our families and our people out of this cycle? What you think, Mike?
And I'm glad you brought that point up. I'm going to be honest. I'm 50 years old. I did not find out some certain knowledge until the church I go to now, until about maybe 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Every church I've been to my whole life, they've always preached prosperity. They've always preached different things. The church I go to now in 2011, he actually taught us how to treat a woman. How to be a man. You know, showed us in the word. You know, like at first it makes there's a lot of blown. If you go back in your lifetime, there's a lot of blown relationships that we have because we don't know how to treat our women.
That's right.
If you don't know how to treat, if you've never been taught the right way how to treat a woman, then that comes into hereditary. Then the next person, your child is born, they don't know how to treat them. And then if no one ever teaches you how to be a man, biblically wise,
I thought
being a man was if I pay the bills in this house, I put food on the table. Then woman, you do what I say. No, it ain't like that. It's not like that. You have to admit, just because you pay the bills in the house, you're not entitled. That's that word entitlement.
Right.
You're not entitled to be a king. You have
Come
to
on, brother.
You have to earn
that's
the respect out of your household. You have
the
ability to earn
commitment.
That.
Yeah, that's
and,
commitment.
You know, and if we don't teach our younger generation out of the Bible how to be a man, and now it has to be a man.
Yeah.
If you don't teach a man how to be a boy, how to be a man. If you don't teach a man, a boy, how to treat a woman, that circle will keep going on and on and on, whereas I'm learning how to be a man on my own, and the only way I know how to be a man is if I got money in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
What if you don't
mm-hmm.
have money
Wading
in your pocket?
In water,
does that not make you a man?
Wading in the water. Wow.
You have to know how to be a man with no money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You got that right.
You know, I'm not saying staying broke.
Shit.
I'm just saying find a way to stay
and
how to get
money
to become
your
a fair man,
that's
you know.
Right. And not
true.
From an illegal perspective. That's so true. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, man.
So here's the question, right? Where do we learn how to be men and women? What are our models?
That
who was the example?
It has to be the Bible. It has to be the Bible.
Right. But,
the
but
Bible,
where
the Bible
did
is
black
right,
people...
The Bible will tell you.
Well, let's look at it like this. I think you laid it out. A church with a purpose, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Using the reference book. From that perspective, to develop us into being men and women, you know, it tells you everything in there how to have that structure, and then being an example, not you do what I say.
Yeah, I pay the bills to do what I say. That ain't gonna work. That's a dictatorship.
Yeah, that ain't right. Absolutely, that ain't gonna work.
You got that right. Okay, so let's go back to what you said earlier, Michael, when you talked about Willie Lynch, right? And so Willie Lynch created this mindset, and it's been like that during slavery, that we were divided. And if you divide people,
yeah.
like men against women, the house
right.
against the out,
right.
the field,
right?
right? So there's a division that's set in, right? And even in terms of economics, right? The haves and the have-not, the lights and the dark skin, you brown, you stick
right.
around, black,
young,
get back, all of those things, right?
Yeah.
You get, so all of those things. And the question I was asking is, where do we as African, and you made a great point about the church, but as African Americans in this country, where did we learn to be men and women and mothers and fathers? Who taught us that? What was our main example?
Well, it was modeled
what
in the home.
What you see in the house.
Okay,
yeah,
and who
house.
Taught
yeah.
you how? What did the house? Who created the house? Who created the family? Who created the black mindset? And like Stan said earlier, who was it that created this nigga mentality? Because that
oh,
is what
yeah.
we're functioning
exactly.
off.
Let's answer that question. All right. Thank you, Michael. I'm coming back to you. We're going back to the lines again. Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate it. We're going to 4358, coming to you live on the Empowerment Network.
Well, see, brother.
Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, yes.
Can you hear me?
Racism.
Come on in.
Men like me, you, and Michael. They hate us.
Can you hear me?
Because
right. We got somebody on the line.
Somebody
go
else
ahead,
is talking.
4358. Come on in.
All right. I'm out here walking, so you might hear some traffic because I'm trying to get off the highway right now. But
okay.
What I was gonna say was, first of all, I learned how to be a man in the nation. Okay, so
okay.
Everybody is not going to go into the nation, so that's not where they're going to learn to be a man.
Yeah.
But to really address the question of the Willie Lynch thing and all of that that's going on with our people, have been devalued. And when you devalue people, that means that our young people, they don't have anything to lose. And that's why they're so willing to die at 14 or 15 or 16, because they don't understand that their life is valuable. And all they see is like a dead end. They don't see no good life. They don't see no, you know, bunch of money unless they go the route of what they know. And all they know is selling drugs and sticking people up and doing all kinds of illegal things. But that should be expected amongst the poorest class of people in this country. But that's not the solution to the problem. The solution is, I'm just telling you, you know, laying the groundwork why it is. Now, the way that changes is we have to begin to teach our own people from kindergarten how to be an upright citizen, how to love themselves, what our people have accomplished in the world, and that they can do the same thing. And when you do that, if you notice, different people's children value life more than others. And it's because of the way that they were taught and what they were exposed to. You see, so when a child is exposed to nothing but gang activity and I'm from this place and you from that place, all they see is a war. It don't have to be no special reason why I killed you.
Survival.
You know, you from 58th Street, and I'm not. So if I see you on site, I'm shooting because you don't belong over here. That's the way it was in Philadelphia when I was growing up, and that's the way it is now. Only thing, the weapons have just went to another level, so they can kill more people quicker than what they could back then. But what I'm saying is, the solution to that is we have to start without any question. We have to begin to educate our own children. We can't keep letting them go to that public school system. And the public school system is like a system that feeds the most negative part of black people to our people. Okay, and now the reason I say that is, the second part to that is that they've stolen a lot of our accomplishments. So when you stole people's accomplishments and you're hiding their greatness to make yourself look great, how in the world are you ever going to get your problem solved dealing with them as a solution? That's why I don't believe in working with them as a solution. And that's my problem with the term integration. I don't really think that that'll work for us because of how much the lies are intertwined that keep us where we're at. You know, my thing is to do what Brother Marvin is talking about with the NAAEA. That's to educate our people, to show our people the way, to economically work with our people first. And you don't have to hate nobody else to help yourself.
So true.
You see, that's another, you know, issue that they try to throw out there. Like, as soon as you say something good about your people, then That means you hate everybody else, just like your brother was saying about Black Lives Matter. So automatically, mm-hmm. no one said that white lives don't matter. Right. All they said was Black Lives Matter. So mm-hmm. the way that they could deal with that cognitive dissonance, because they've done so much destructive stuff to us, then it's like, oh, so we don't matter. Huh. Nobody said that. Yeah. What we're trying to communicate is Black Lives Matter. You know, but y'all know I could talk forever, man.
Right. But thank you, brother.
I'm learning.
All right.
You're welcome.
Stay on with us. Stay on with us. Thank you. Hey, Stan, the brother said empowerment from the cradle to the grave. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And teaching
right.
our kids, right? And so the brother was mm-hmm. talking about the same way we're spoiling our kids, we can reverse that and put something in them, that pride, that dignity, that self-respect. You know what's missing? I'm going to tell the truth. Y'all ready for this? We missing what we used to call back in the day. You ready for this, Dan? It's
mm-hmm.
two words. And when I say it, you're going to agree. It's called home training.
Yep.
Home yep. training. Somebody tell me what home training is. Stan, you tell me what home training meant when you was at back at your house with your mom and your dad. What's home training?
Home training is an institution that defines the reality of that particular family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what goes back again. I keep saying we need institutions that define our own reality. You know, I mean, he tapped on the public school thing. You know, sometimes we need our own schools. We need to educate ourselves in ways that can make a difference. I mean, it's not that we can't do it. I mean, Timbuktu had 100-something disciplines. People from all over the world came there. And
true.
As he mentioned about that jealousy thing, the Greeks, they the ones tore it up. Now,
all right, now.
You know, it starts, and when you start that teaching in the home, you start out first as a trainer. Train them up in the way they
mm-hmm.
should go. And that's from 0 to about 11. Then from 12 to about 17, you become a counselor.
Listen,
you
now.
Know, where you make decisions with them. You don't make decisions for them. You know, you make it with them and give them some say-so. And then when they get 18 and older, you just an advisor. All you can do is give them advice. Grown people do what they want to do. So, you know, and I know what I'm talking about. I applied to my own family, and it worked wonderful because I came back from the motherland with the concept that makes the village, because it does take a village to raise a child. And so home training is the key. Yeah, it's better to get. I ain't saying you can't get training out there in the streets, but that home training should be first base. That's why they say he hit a home run. Hello?
Home training is like home cooking. Ain't nothing like it. When you raise your
it's
child
like
or children in the right way, train them
home
up in
cooking.
The right way, and they won't depart from it. If we teach our people that blacks don't kill blacks and we love each other and we can respect each other, things will change. I'm going back to the line, Stan. All right, buckle down, 7974. 7974, you're on live with the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin, talk to us. You live.
Hi. So I think that lots of good points have been made in the conversation today. And so when Michael was talking about the Black Lives Matter movement and sort of juxtaposed to the, you know, All Lives Matter is what you hear. And so, you know, since he brought up sort of from a biblical perspective, one of the things that is interesting to me when I have these conversations with people talking about Black Lives Matter and sort of the way in which people react very negatively to it, but they also come from a perspective, sometimes a lot of Christians come from the perspective of we all matter, we're all Christians, we're colorblind. But even the Bible tells us, and even as Michael was saying, like the analogy of going to the hospital gunshot wound, but we can look even in the Bible that tells us about the one sheep, right? The one sheep, is, right. I think it's in Luke 15, the one sheep that left the flock, right? People went and looked, or the shepherd went and looked for that one sheep. It didn't matter that there were 99 other sheep, right? But it was that one sheep was in danger, and so he did come back and bring that sheep back. And so when I think about Black Lives Matter, and even from a biblical perspective, as Michael was saying, no one is saying all lives don't matter. But what we are saying, and even from a biblical anchor standpoint, is that when that one sheep left the flock, they went and brought that sheep back, right? And the other sheep were fine until that happened. And so when we think about even talking about it from a Christian perspective, I think it's very important that we think about what are our anchors, right? We can't just kind of pick and choose what we want to see, you know, as important, but we also have to look back and what the word is also telling us. And so so that's one point that I wanted to make. And the other thing, I think we're talking about, it takes a village, and I think that's very important. But I think that particularly in our community, we've gotten away from that concept, and we, you know, we've been socialized in a society that is very westernized and individualistic and not collective. And there are societies across, you know, the globe that are much more collectivist in nature than we are. But I think as an African-American community, we strayed from where we were collectivist cultures within a culture, right? So we're a culture within a culture. And so we have strayed from that collectivist nature and sort of striving for the individualistic nature, which I think Michael was speaking to earlier, right? So we're sort of entitled, you know, you're going to get what you want to get, it's fast, but we're also not thinking about how this affects our community, how it affects the other person, right? So how do we help bring other people along? So if you have a supervisor that looks like you, right? You know, they say all skin folk ain't kin folk, right? But if you have a supervisor who looks like you, you have someone who looks like you, why aren't we helping each other to empower, you know, each other to do bigger and better things? But I think part of it is that we've bought into a mindset that is not working for us, right? This individualistic mindset or culture that is you know, developed from a westernized nation like ours, is not working for our community. What works for us is what we had been doing and thinking about how we can collectivize, you know, our thought process and collectivize how we support each other. Because your growth is my growth. So if you're succeeding, your success is going to be my success. And so I think about, again, how we strayed for that, strayed from that sort of concept is important for us to think about how we actually get back to that, and not seeing each other as threats, right? So my success shouldn't be a threat to someone else who's Black, but how can I use what was given to me? And I think John Lewis left a legacy of giving back and lifting up. And so lifting up people, lifting up and giving back, and I think that needs to be perpetuated more in our community than it is now.
Thanks.
So true.
Thank you, Carla.
So true. I mean, if you've been fortunate to receive and to have been enhanced mentally, physically, spiritually, culturally, it's just right to give back. Our culture is not that we don't lack. It's that I think we just have endured too much of the slack. That we've not produced what we lack, and so she brings up it's just good conversation when we as people can talk and tell
everybody
and not be roughed up and puffed up to the extent that I don't want to associate with you no more. I tell you, boy, that been taught some ways that is not helpful.
Right.
But what is
helpful
and positive, where we can be optimistic, we need to apply that. We need to apply the principle to promote us instead of demote us.
True. Man, this has been a great show, Stan. Man, some great points. Hey, I'm challenging the listeners to send this to your friends, right? Let's really take a good look at this dialogue, right? This empowerment piece is crucial because it's mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial. If we get those levels together, right? If we can continue to develop our children and our families and our community and develop a culture that really holistically looks at each individual from that mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial standpoint, like the brother said about his church and the other brother said about the nation. Those are two different belief systems, but they all work together. We don't have to believe the same thing, but we can all work together, and that's what we need to do. A man once said, we've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, and led astray. And the sister said, we strayed. And you're exactly right. We have strayed. Let's go back to the line, Stan. If you got something else, I'll defer to you before we go to the lines.
No, it's just been a great day today. You know, I feel empowered and encouraged. I was a little sad because those pioneers have, you know, went off the scene. But knowing that you know, I'm frontline material and when listening to individuals that just have spoken, the brother and the sister is encouraging, and I appreciate that. And I want to say I really thank each of you who make time to share your perspectives on the program.
True. This is a safe space. This is our platform. This is where we can talk and dialogue and do it right. Hey, listen, who is willing to stand in the gap? All right, John Lewis is gone. Who's willing to be the next one to step up and stand in the gap in your family and your community? All right, we're going back to the lines. I'm going to try you one more time, 4692. Last time for you. If you're going to be a listener today, you can also be a caller. Talk to us today, 4692, once more.
I'm
Talk
on.
To me,
can
caller.
You hear me? Hello?
Yes, hey. Welcome to the Empowerment Network.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here. Good dialogue. I want to go back to that home training piece because I believe that that's primary. And, you know, we got all these secondary solutions to educate our children, but it is primary. That means before I get put into a school that's not designed to elevate me, encourage me, and to build up my self-esteem, I get that from the root of the tree, and that is at home and in my community. And so one of the challenges that I put forth, because I'm always going to be looking for what can we do now. Talk is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary. But where are there actionable points? And I would suggest that because of some of the direct hits that our community have taken, home training has been farmed out. It's been outsourced. And if we want to get back to a place, then those of us who understand that the teaching and the training and the mind-shaping things that we went through when we were coming up on with grandma and grandpa and mama and dad and whatever, we have got to maybe become mentors to adults who have homes already. There are adults who have a home, but that's something we can do, whether it's one by one or one to many. I think there's an opportunity for those of us who understand and appreciate to become a mentor to a family or to a parent such that they might see a good model and we can help break that cycle.
Great points. Thank you, sister. Stan, she makes great points.
Like
this is a great show.
It is a great show, and she's so right. We have to be willing to mentor. And, you don't have to know somebody personally to tap in, plug into wisdom. There's a lot of gold nuggets that comes out of people's mouth if you just listen and just apply it. I try to learn something every day. Learn and de-learn. Relearn.
She said back to the root. And we need, right, we need some actionable points, right? We need a model, right, that we can continue to work and develop at, that we can then inject and introduce into our communities, into our schools, into our churches. Imagine if all the churches had a model or a similar model that we're all working at. that helped us to develop our children and a foundation for our families. And this thing is going into every household and every community in this country until we get that mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual and financial peace together. Stan, I'm going back to Michael again. Michael, you there? Talk to me.
Man, I like something what she said, the home training, going back to the root. And mm-hmm. the first thing came to my mind is, wow, how can we say this nation needs to get along with each other? How can we say the man over South Side needs to get along with the man over North Side if family can't learn how to forgive each other? And, you know, because if you can't start in your family, you can't mm-hmm. start outside your household. You got That's siblings right. in their 70s that haven't even spoke to each other in years.
Mm.
You have cousins, mamas, daddies that don't get along over something so small. So if you don't have to learn, if you, women, put it this way, if you can learn how to fix that in your family first, then you can fix it outside the door.
Come on, brother.
You know, because the hardest thing to fix is, the hardest thing to do is finding someone who knows your past and you have a different future, but they don't want to let go of your past. So if you can get somebody to understand you, forgive you for something, or you forgive them for something, if you can work on your family first, that will open up the tree limbs to outside the walls of the city, outside the walls of your door.
Yeah. So true. So true. Thank you, Michael. What you got, Stan? Man, that was good.
Well, it does. I mean, you know, taking the initiative to address the concerns at first and foremost makes a difference. And putting it up, letting it build up till it get all out of whack. And it's so unmanageable. I say this, you know, circumstances can come for various reasons. They can come because, first of all, things have gotten out of control. And I'm not talking about where, you know, you got to do what I say. I mean, if I'm riding in the car with you and you're driving, I hope you have control of that steering wheel. You know, and then there's things that happen beyond our control.
True.
It's just, you know, you just got to lift up your hands and say, oh, God. Whoever, you know. You know, and then there's some things that's just out of control. And I think this escalation of, you know, the brother mentioned about 7 lies. That's out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you what I would do. If I was in that community, and if I was, this is what I'm talking about, my perspective, as a pastor in that city, I would hit the streets. Oh, yeah, I hit the streets. Not that I'm going to change anybody's mind, but I'm going to go right to the source and let them know that I'm in business.
That's another whole conversation. We need to talk about pastors next week. And we talk about fixing, I think the first thing we got to start doing is fixing ourselves. So do the work of working on yourself. We got about a minute left. This has been a great, great, great show. I think you're right. We got to hit the streets. I think we got and they're doing it in terms of the Black Lives Matter march and protest. But we got to do something at home, man. We got to fix home first.
You know,
it starts with you.
People are getting these protesters mixed up with violence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, man, you know, everything because they say black don't mean that it's evil or bad. Black is beautiful. Mm.
That's right.
Beautiful.
And we are beautiful people when we got it right is even better. It's godly when we get it right. All right, we got to get out of here, brother. Thank you, Stan. Thank you, all callers. Thank you so much for another powerful show. This show is all about you. It's about your words and your mindset. Share this with your – we got to do the work. It's up to us now. Let's get back to the root. Let's figure out what we need to do to get those actionable points in place. Let's recognize that you now have to stand in the gap for change, and you have to be the one now, because our ancestors are slowly transitioning. So now it's up to you. It's Empowerment Network. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Work on yourself. Join us, right? Go out to the site. We got members. We need members. We need people to say, I am going to work on myself and my family politically, culturally, economically, socially, all of those things, and get it right. Practice today. Stan, we out of here, brother. I love you, man. Thank you, listeners. We'll talk to y'all next week. Tune in, for the community conversations, right? Go back into the archives and listen. We got some good stuff. We talk to y'all soon. Peace. Thank you.